And welcome to...
Hello, and welcome to your favorite astrology program, It's All in the Stars, with astrologer Hassan Jaffer. And now, here's your host for tonight, Michael Cervini.
So we've got some very interesting things today, Kevin. We got a lot of emails for the 2012. A lot of people want to know about it.
Yeah.
Some people also want to know about Edwards. We've done Edwards too.
Yeah.
And I should give us some numbers also if anybody wants to call in. From Canada, it's 1-888-815-9756. And from the U.S., it's 1-877-876-5227. If you'd like to join us, or any question you'd like to ask about astrology, geometry, about the world, any politics, what's happening, we'd be glad to discuss that with you also. So how have you been, Sherwin?
Excellent. I've been doing okay. The hand is getting better, but it's still, the tendon's still bothering me, so I'm just
Your Saturn Mercury finishing in about 2 weeks' time completely.
Oh, good. Good timing.
So a lot of things going on with the policy. About 2 or 3 months ago, I came up about 8th of August. Hello?
Hello?
Yes?
Hello?
Yes?
Yes, my name is Laura Rush, and I want to find out.
You want to find out about yourself? Okay, you didn't give us a chance to start. Okay. What's your birthday? I'll keep your birthday and I'll let you know. What's your birthday?
Oh, it's 4/27/1967.
Can you give it in a month like that? The month of April, yeah?
Yes.
I'm sorry, can you speak a bit louder? Can you say it again?
It's April?
Yeah.
1967? April 27th?
April 27th, 1967. I'm sorry, who am I speaking to?
My name's Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Hi.
Okay, I have your chart. Have I spoken to you before?
No.
That's
my
so
friend
strange.
Heather told me about you.
Today I spoke to three different Lauras. Can you believe it? Very, very interesting. Well, you have Mercury in the sign of Aries in opposition to Mars, which makes it even more of an Aries aspect. I'm saying for the benefit of Sherwin also so you can understand what the chart is. Very strong mind. Of course, we had Einstein, we had Hitler, we had... I'm talking about a good point of view. He was a very good public speaker, of course. Like, you know,
right.
So my best advice to people around you would be to agree with whatever you're saying first and then give their viewpoint. Otherwise, you wouldn't even listen to them. In terms of love matters, such you're going through a bit of a testing period right now. We have Saturn touching off that Venus, which finishes in about 2-3 months' time. But next year is fantastic for you. From communication, from career point of view, from love matters, finances, everything.
What was
the main question you had?
Well, I work in the film industry, and I've been out of work for quite a while, and I was wanting to see if some work was going to come my way.
What do you do in the film industry?
I work in the sound department.
Oh, I see. Well, you see, you've got that Mercury in Aries. That's like a technical aspect. You really have the mind of a man.
Yeah,
I'm coming from you
to
compliment, by the way. and you're a very good troubleshooter, actually. And whereabouts do you live, by the way? Which city?
Los Angeles.
Oh, you are in L.A.
Yes.
You know what you can do is you can send me your contact info on my email at stargaze, S-T-A-R-G-A-Z-E, at astrotrends.net.
Stargaze at astrotrends.net?
Yeah, stargaze at astrotrends.net.
Okay.
And we'll get you hooked up with the right people also. Sherwin is also in Los Angeles, so we'll get you...
Okay,
that'd be interesting. Because your chart is excellent for short stories also. You have some other talents as well, not just the sound thing. I mean, you're like a scientist, like Einstein was born with that. And you have moon in Sagittarius, trine to Mercury. You have quite a few visual aspects also in your chart. But the best aspect coming throughout next... Do you know what time you were born?
Yes, 7:03 p.m.
Okay, let me just quickly see. 7:03 p.m. And you were born in L.A. or...
Yes, Los Angeles County, I was born.
Okay, just give me one sec. I'm quickly going to have a look at that. California, okay. Because that would help us as far as the timing is concerned. Okay, right, rising sign of Scorpio, yeah, now it makes a lot of sense. You have Leo right on top of the chart. Leo is part of the 9th and 10th house. not only, see, you're supposed to be known for the way you communicate. You know, when you write a script and you get an Academy Award, that's Leo on the ninth to me. Also, when you can handle the stage yourself, you really should be. Have you ever thought of having your own film and all that at all?
No, actually,
having
I
short
want,
film,
I want,
being a director,
actually,
anything
I,
like that at all?
No, actually, I want to get out of the business, to be honest.
Yeah, I know, because you really should be your own boss. I definitely, you know, we're making we're getting a whole team together, including Sherwin, and we'll get the right team together. So just write me an email on that. It's a nice chart, and you have planets right on top of the chart, so you definitely have a lot of. See, from last month, last 2 months, there was a major restructuring going on in your career that was showing.
Okay.
But I personally think you really should think of your own thing, like, you know, whether you're a consultant or have your own business, for example, or short stuff that you do, for example. But I'll deal with that a little bit more. And just send me your contact number, your telephone number, and your, of course, if you just send me an email at stargazer@astrotrends.net, I'll definitely get back to you.
Okay.
Okay, Laura?
All right, thank you.
Take care, my dear.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Sherwin?
So I found you were talking about 2012.
Yes.
The Mayan calendar prediction, 21st December.
Yeah, the Mayans had written about it. I wrote an article on that quite some time ago, but a lot of people were worried about it, so I thought I'd clarify some things about it. But first of all, I want you to look at some dates that I'd taken, actually. And one of the dates was, I had the date here, but I put Laura's date on top now. So I just have to, let me just go back to it. 2nd April of 2000 and, let me just split it.
14?
Actually, I'm going to leave her chart here later when she calls. I'll have that. It's 2nd April of 2011.
Oh.
If you look at that date, this is before the Mayan thing. To me, this is much more dangerous, actually.
Yeah.
2nd of April, 2011. And I'll tell you the explanation of the Mayans and all that also. Do you have the chart in front of you?
No, let me just fire up the computer 1 second.
Okay. You have Mercury, Jupiter. Let me just explain you what's happening here. You have Mercury, Jupiter, Sun, Moon, Uranus, Mars, everything in Aries.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine the children who are born then?
Oh, my gosh.
Six planets in Aries. And Hitler only had one planet in Aries, remember. And both of them squared to Pluto and opposed by Saturn.
Wreak havoc on the world.
So it's like a major T-square in the sky. And only like Venus and Neptune together. And that's it. So this has much more potential for all the earthquakes and all these other things. And now on December, actually, but first of all, let me explain to you, you know, what all this thing is about, like why such a cosmic event and all that. You see, the eclipse is a path. The ecliptic is a path which is traveled by the sun and the moon and the planets throughout the sky, which is like the planets were called wanderers in Greek, actually. And so all the planets around, they go around there. And so the 12 constellations lie along the ecliptic, and the apparent path is the sun. It passes through all of these during the course of 1 year. Now, the ecliptic it crosses over the Milky Way at a 60-degree angle near the constellation of Sagittarius. So it forms sort of a cross with the Milky Way. And this cross was called the Sacred Tree by the ancient Mayas. And the cross was also known as a crossroads, actually. Now, amazingly, that the center of the cosmic cross, which is right where the ecliptic crosses over the ecliptic way, is exactly where the December solstice sun will be in AD 2012. The 21st December 2012. Now, this alignment occurs only once in every 25,800 years. So when we look at the Milky Way, and it's like a bright, wide band of stars all going all around the sky. And now, along this aspect, there are some blotchy areas, like a dark cloud, because of interstellar dust and all that. And the most prominent of these is called the dark rift, or the great cleft of the Milky Way, they call it. Now, it looks like a dark road running along the Milky Way, and it points right at the cosmic crossing point, the center of the Maya sacred tree, just where the sun will be in 2012. The Maya used to call this dark rift the black road, or the road to the underworld, they used to call it. And they felt it goes to another world, and the December solstice sun, and will be entering it in AD 2012. Now, the area where the sun and the sky and all these symbols, they all converge, all these celestial objects, that is the center of our Milky Way galaxy. And the part of the Milky Way that the December solstice will conjunct is also where the center of the galaxy, which is the galactic center, is located. And
yeah.
It is like a cosmic womb from which the new stars are born, and everything in our galaxy, apparently humans and everyone, came from there. So that's
yeah.
where all this, everything, the origin was from there. So this is once in a lifetime, actually more than that, like 26,000, like almost 27,000 years.
Yeah.
And now it is also believed that the cycle will come to an end amid global destruction, and from their point of view, that is on 4 Ahau, 3 Kankin, on 23rd December of AD 2012 in our calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they used to have these long counts to record the elapse of time since the beginning of the current great cycle, literally to count off, one by one, 5,125 years allotted to our present sort of creation. Now,
yeah.
on the long computer, this thing was not done like our numbers. It's not like 1, 2, 3, 4. The Mayans used their own notation. And they got it from Olmecs, and we don't know where they got it from. But anyway, this is a combination of dots, which was the units or multiples of 20, and bars, which signifies the fives and multiples of 5 times 20, and a shell glyph, which signifies zero. Now, what I actually find amazing was the long span. Like, the spans of time were counted by days, which is kin, periods of 20 days, which was Winat, the computing years of 360 days, Thun, and periods of 20 Thuns, which are known as Katun, and the periods of 20 Katuns, known as Bakthun, and they also used to have 8,000 Thun periods, what they call it, it's called a Picton, and 160,000 Thun periods, and to mark even larger like calculations. And
yeah.
and there's a similarity with Great Pyramids in Giza and Mexico.
Yeah.
Are you there, Shazan?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here.
And even the
yeah.
way that, for example, the sun and the moon and these three pyramids that they used, and one was lower than the other, is exactly the same. There's some connection there, which I believe had nothing to do with the Mayan people. To me, these are the jungle people. Nobody has said that. Everybody thinks they were great astronomers, and all that to me is absolute nonsense. I think the people who are living in the jungle and all that, that's one side, just basically survival, nothing else. They've left absolutely nothing. I've been to the Mayan temple myself also. There is nothing which will show. And on one side, you've got these computer calculations, where the calculations of the Venus positions and all that, it's like one day in 6,000 years error. I mean, it's absolutely
yeah.
phenomenal. So there's absolutely
yeah.
no way we can equate that with Mayan people. So they made all kinds of theories that they were so why is it instant recognition of what's happening in the world and all this total nonsense. To me, somebody else there. There's nothing
yeah.
with Mayans at all. So such great observatory and all that these people made. Now, an important... So this cosmic event that's happening, the winter solstice, is now at a point of conjunction with the galactic center. Now,
yeah.
Some people say it's a harmony of the humanity and with the divine will and all, because all
right.
that comes from that
right.
galactic center and all that. And, you know, during the time of Plato, he believed that the flood that destroyed Atlantis and probably ended the Ice Age occurred about 9,300 BC, 9,000 years before Plato. And that seems to be when the summer solstice was in conjunction with the galactic center, a point completely opposite to where it is today. Now, it's interesting that some people even believe that, you know, the Vedic astrology apparently orients the zodiac to the galactic center, as a source of all creative intelligence, and mediated by the human beings, and by the fixed stars, through fixed stars of Sagittarius, and the guru planet Jupiter, which is, of course, my ruling planet and your Mercury's ruling planet also.
Right, right.
But I'm not sure about that part, but it's interesting that they use that the 6 degrees and 40 minutes of Sagittarius, which is the center of the galactic center, And they use that the node corresponds to, you know, they both in Islamic calendar and Vedic astrology, they use that as an exaltation of the north node, which is exactly that part.
6 degrees Sagittarius?
6 degrees, 40 minutes of Sagittarius. They believe that the lunar south node, the south node being exalted in that sign, they based it basically on that, you know. But even the end of the Kali Yoga that they talk about is also with the same one. So this Mayan 2012 date. So, but they had said there'll be some, like, a global destruction. Now, looking at the chart itself, as I said way before that, in 2011, in April 2nd, when you look at this thing, all the planets trying to pull the Earth off its orbit, on the other side you've got a Saturn. So Saturn, Jupiter, almost an exact opposition. That is a powerful aspect itself. We'll stay there for quite some time. Then the other planets join it, and all then square to Pluto. That is quite a strong aspect. Of course, you and I will be getting all kinds of grand trines, of course, with all those Aries planets touching off, like 6 grand trines in my chart.
Wow.
So to me, you see, the destruction would be when everybody in the world gets a lousy aspect from the transits.
Which they won't, right?
No, they won't, that's right.
Yeah.
So at
yeah.
least a lot of the people will survive. You know, they're getting great aspects. So, but there is some aspects happening, whether it's just asteroids coming up and all that. But I somehow cannot relate events just on Earth with this huge galactic center, all of that just happening for us. So there's got to be all kinds of intelligence all around the world and
yes.
different galaxies and all that, you know, because we are only,
yes.
I mean, we're so tiny, speck in the whole thing.
We sure are.
Now, I was looking at December 21st. Also, the moon is in Aries, very similar to the 2nd April date that I gave. But on 23rd December, when they believe the actual the global destruction thing, moon is in Taurus, and quite often mining accidents and all that, they do happen that time. And in
yes.
opposing Saturn, see, Saturn will be in Scorpio, very similar to the year 2000.
Yeah.
You know, in 2000 also we had the same thing, Saturn in Scorpio. In fact, on the year 2000, we had moon in Scorpio too.
Right.
And that's why, I mean, so much, a lot of people make a lot of money from that. But there were some, I mean, quite a few difficulties on the time, but it wasn't certainly the end of the world or anything like that. But we do have
right.
some dangerous times ahead, that's for sure. Like 2011, as I said, in April, we'll start seeing some of the things.
Now,
but
are you saying the whole of April or just those a couple of days?
Well, you know, every time moon either conjuncts, squares, or if it, you see, during new moon, and the full moon is when, of course, the major forces, act upon the Earth when it comes to earthquakes and things like that.
Right.
So that becomes a dangerous time. Then you see this whole package squaring, conjuncting, or opposing each other.
Yes.
So that becomes quite a strong aspect also.
But
before that, we've developed all kinds of things, I'm sure. It's really interesting. It is an amazing cosmic event that's happening from the Earth's point of view. The whole this ecliptic shift is going to cross exactly where the, I mean, it's happened like 26,000, almost 27,000 years once in that, crossing the exact galactic center in Sagittarius. So it's so interesting, you know. It's amazing if
right.
it's related, because they also believe that all the endocrine system and all that is related to that. I'm not sure if it is all that distance away, but.
Because
we really don't know what it's, I mean, it's like a point of zero gravity, everything seems to go around it.
Do you think that it'll last? Because Mars will be in Aries for a while during that time, and
yeah.
then it can eventually touch off like California, Uranus, and you know all that stuff.
Well, there'll be a Mars Uranus conjunction in Aries actually.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Yeah. And
you know.
If you look at the chart, see, I believe that Los Angeles is what rising sign? Do you know?
I'm not sure. I know that. I downloaded the chart to California, or actually, no, we don't know the rising sign.
See, what I'm doing,
but
we did have good programs to correlate all the different events, which I'm doing now. So that's why I had to develop my own programs now, and we're developing some very, very fast programs, which will be able to just span the centuries so fast, actually. And you
yeah.
can see all the synastries and all that just by clicking the, and in fact, when the all kinds of events, as you go over the months, I mean, all the different events, you'll immediately see the chart. You don't have to click. As you mouse over, you'll see the chart on the right-hand side.
Right.
So anybody, for example, in their chart, you'll instantly see what's going on in the bio wheel and all that without having to click, without having to put a single thing in.
Yeah.
So you've got thousands and thousands of charts. I'm making all those databases available to masses, actually, you know.
I do have the dates of birth for Los Angeles and for California.
Okay, maybe you can give that to me.
Which one did you want? Which one's more important, California or Los Angeles?
If you have the dates, let's just take both. It'll be interesting
okay.
for people. By the way, this is an approximate, like, you know, when they became independent or when these things were fine, they do believe there's some cosmic synchronicity at event. It's an interesting thing. I wouldn't bet my life on it, but it does seem to, like, for example, I'm the only astrologer who gave America Libra rising, with a lot
yes.
of Scorpio also in the first house, which, by the way, is exactly the same rising sign as Israel, also the same rising sign as Hitler, and also the same rising sign as Simon Wiesenthal. It's really interesting because Libra gives a sense of fairness and justice. Whether it's right or not is not the point, but it's like a beauty and the beast. On the outside, they look very smiling and all that, but underneath there's that vindictive aspect to that Scorpio thing. Whether it's for a good cause or not, but now you can see the pros, that's why America is the best. And what is it?
For Los Angeles, it's September 4th, 1781.
1781. And do you know what...
Well, I don't know why, but for some reason I have here 1330. But at the time, but I mean, I think I just sort of picked that. I'm not sure if I downloaded this from somewhere. I just, you know, I'm not sure about the time. It makes it Sagittarius rising, which I don't even know, you know. But
you think it's like Sagittarius rising, though?
I thought maybe. I really don't know. Or I don't know if I can't remember. But I know the 4th September 1781 should be correct.
I see.
And for California...
But when you look at Los Angeles, you know, like there's no aspect of Leo at all. I guess if you do have that, well, like,
Mercury,
I think 1:30, that gives Scorpio rising and Leo right on top of the chart.
Yes.
Which might make sense.
Mercury is in Leo in Los Angeles. Yeah.
Yeah, so many directors on it. It may make sense. You're right.
Yeah.
And the Venus-Neptune conjunction in Libra, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
And then when you look at it, now, Pluto will be coming close to Mars. The most important thing here, just a few days ago, there was an earthquake. It was a Mars touching off that Saturn, number one. But Mars being in Capricorn, not right now, but later on. See, even in 2012, even then, Pluto will only be 7 degrees of Capricorn.
Okay.
So it won't
so
be
too far away,
that
yeah.
Mars. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I did was, I did something very interesting, Sherwin. I took a map, I mean, just like a horoscope, just a blank horoscope. I superimposed on America, with Gemini being the twin towers.
Yeah.
And when you do that, every city exactly fits exactly where it should be. It's so interesting.
Yeah.
Like the Pisces comes near Florida and where all this ocean and all.
Yeah.
And Leo comes up towards Toronto. So that's why I said that Toronto will become like a major capital. And a month later, after that, the mayor announced here they were building a 1 million square foot studio here.
Yeah.
And a lot of the movie acts were coming up here, and a lot of things were coming up here, actually, also. And then Los Angeles becomes more or less like Scorpio and Sagittarius, which is exactly Spielberg's chart, but also becomes a major propaganda machine.
Yeah.
Because Scorpio is all the government and Pentagon and all that, and they have done a lot of that, all the destruction, all these things, and Sagittarius is when you're exporting that all around the world. And he has a Moon-Pluto square. There's Mercury and Sagittarius trying to Pluto, which is a good aspect, of course, but the Moon, Pluto square. That's why all the, you know, the Draculas and all that. No, not Draculas, dinosaurs and eating up people and all that.
Right.
So that's a Scorpio Sagittarius. It's a really like a vindictive aspect, unfortunately, a lot of propaganda machine, rather than what Hollywood used to be.
Right.
It's almost like the whole thing is shifting to some extent.
So I've noticed you said before, is it Mars-Saturn or Mars-Uranus, which is worse for earthquakes? Which one was it?
There's a combination, see. Like, for example, Jupiter being in Taurus, we always find some major, major ones in all the other mining incidents that happen, or even in China, for example, the really big earthquakes. The Mars-Neptune usually is, first of all, you know, when there are a lot of epidemics, or the ocean tides and the flooding that follows. That part is the Mars-Neptune theme. On one side, there's a physical aspect we know about that, you know, like the full moon, for example, or like the tsunami happened around that time, and the moon pulling all these planets trying to pull the Earth off its orbit. That's a physical aspect on one side. But then you've got these other themes, astrological. The Mars-Neptune, which is a total nightmare theme for people.
Yeah.
Mars-Uranus normally coincides with aviation disasters. Like a few days from now, the moon is going into Aquarius. It's a full moon, and moon will be in Aquarius.
Yeah.
And now that aspect, every time when there's a major Air Force type of things, and bombings and all that, we find that Aquarius theme, with no regard to people, for example. But a few days ago when Moon was in Scorpio, and I'd mentioned that before, about 2-3 months ago, that 8th of August, 2008, at 8 o'clock in the evening, like whenever you see this thing, it's a violent aspect, and all the major wars and all that, but and Georgia thing with Russia happened exactly then.
Yeah. That's right.
And not only 8th of August, but Moon is in Scorpio as well, another Scorpio theme.
Right, right.
That's okay.
And so for Los Angeles, you thought it was okay, it didn't look too bad, huh?
You know, what I find more with Los Angeles on the people's own charts.
Yeah.
Like, you know, one of our friends who we both know, the actress, for example, her chart, Mars was in her fourth house.
Right.
And before, for example, there was an earthquake theme.
Ah, yeah.
So that happens. Yeah. Every time Mars goes in her fourth house, I mean, you've got to be careful of earthquakes around.
Right.
The individual charts will definitely show that.
Right.
For sure, also, you know.
And
what is California's?
Yeah, California is 9th September, 1850.
Yeah. 1850.
No,
1850. Oh, sorry, what am I saying?
Yeah.
1850, yes.
Yeah, September 9th.
Mars, this doesn't make sense unless they are in a lot of
heads.
Now, if this is the right chart, then Mars is in Libra, and it touches off United States Saturn. The United States charts, we have Saturn in Libra. So this would be a constant conflict between America, the other states, and California. But do they have that, though? I don't think they have problems with
Washington. I don't think they do, yeah. I think this is probably incorrect, right? The California chart.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, yeah.
Yeah.
And Venus and Moon both being in Scorpio, it doesn't seem like a Scorpio place to me.
No, it doesn't. You're right.
Yeah. But we'll have to figure out. That's my next task, actually, because I've done a lot of these predictions on it before. But now that we are making massive databases on it with all the different events, we'll be able to see it much more clearly.
Yeah.
Rather than just fictitious things. I was speaking to, you remember Phyllis, my friend. Well, I get also online one of these days as soon as you get clear lines. We were working on something with the nakshatras and all that for the Indian things and the data system that they had. But instead of the sidereal, when we base it on tropical, which is the original Indian system, based on that, and we were looking at, for example, they took Rahu and Ketu, which is the north node and south node. And I was wondering, like, for example, instead of that, if you take Uranus and Neptune, instead of Rahu and Ketu, and it seems to be very close, you know, in the interpretation, just like in numerology, they had number 11 and number 22,
but
and that didn't account for any planets. But Uranus really coincides with 11, and all the things that they talk about, number 22, really coincides with Neptune.
Oh,
all the spirituality and all these things that they talk about it.
Yes.
With 11 is the humanitarian aspect and equality and all that, all the internet, it's like Aquarius themes, the Uranus themes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but to me, that gives more validity so that people, like even this Rahu Ketu, for example, Indian astrology, for example, they may have seen the meanings, but they couldn't relate to it with the planets themselves or with something.
I understand, yeah.
So we're working on that. Now, by the way, I was looking at Edward's chart, John Edward's chart.
Yes.
And I personally think he is very humanitarian himself. He has Mercury in the sign of Cancer, actually. Good exact ability and all that. But he has that, it shows Cancer rising. I'm wondering if he is actually, somebody had asked Elizabeth,
He doesn't look like it.
7:23 or something in the morning, right?
Yeah, he doesn't look like he's Cancer rising.
No, he almost looks like Virgo rising, especially when he uses the words, for example, if you want to beat me up, go ahead. I mean, a Cancer Leo would never say that. That's very much like a victim aspect and poor me attitude of Virgo rising.
Yeah.
We often find that. And he has got Gemini planets too. So, but that doesn't take away from his humanitarian work and all the work that he did. And the Enquirer and all that. I mean, people should really almost like boycott something. I mean, they have nothing to do with this. Like if he said, for example, I mean, of course he would not. I mean, why does he have to tell the truth if he has something which is so embarrassing for him or his wife? It's so painful for his wife. I mean, none of our business at all. So many people have all these other people they've destroyed because he's already confronted with his wife and all that. I mean, so stupid, the whole system.
Yeah, they're just trying to bring down the party, you know, that's all. So.
Yeah. By the way, you know, I was looking at McCain's thing, that even these prisoner wars and all that, so they want to find who were the prisoner wars and all that. It went on for 9 months, and the only person who opposed this whole thing was McCain.
Yeah.
He gave 20 propaganda videos for the Vietnam people. So being shut down, being like a prisoner, I'm not saying what is the war hero aspect. I mean, such a great PR.
Yeah.
So
what do you think his chances are now in November?
Well, the thing is, it's not his aspect. It's the people supporting him when they are trying to get him on. You know, that's the theme. But Obama has some very, very good aspects, and his whole energy, what Obama is saying, is coinciding with the whole world. In fact, even Bush is trying to do what the world, what we have predicted is moving towards.
Yes.
Yeah.
And because McCain
The what?
Hello?
Hi, are you there, Shevin?
Hello?
Hi, Shevin, are you there?
Sorry. Yeah, sorry, my headset cut out. I was saying because McCain is re-rising like the U.S.
Yeah, but his plans are coming down.
Oh,
right. Going down in his chart, whereas in Obama's chart, he's got plans going up.
Right.
So it's
right.
A much, much higher position in that aspect.
Yes.
Whereas the next 2 years will become a major health issue with McCain.
Yes.
Assange is moving towards his 12th house.
Okay.
Yeah, but in I'm looking at John Edwards' chart, by the way, and it wasn't a Mars-Neptune theme. Like, Mars-Neptune is more like a scandal aspect. It's Saturn coming down in his chart.
Yes, he's Gemini. I think he's Gemini,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, if you're Cancer or Virgo, any of these are rising. So, with the planets coming down, people tend to sabotage their own interests. They tend to disappear from the public.
Yes.
And this is where the scandals come up and all kinds of things start coming up. And the same thing was happening with Bush, when they talk about impeachment and all that, just the fact they're talking about it.
Right.
Finance coming
right.
down. Whereas Obama's chart, everything is moving up, almost like the next 14 years.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, that's
so a lot about, especially next year, throughout next year, is one of the best for Obama, actually. He's got Jupiter touching off his Sun and Mercury continuously.
Oh, excellent.
And you have the same thing, and I have the same thing. I have a double grand trine getting touched off continuously throughout next year.
That's excellent.
That's why we've got to be ready for all the Sirius satellite and quite a few different things coming up.
Correct. Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
But the software that we're developing, that's why I see that people haven't seen it. Now, my genetic astrology is going to come up very soon, by the way.
Okay. How's
where,
that coming
you know, up? For example, what you like? For example, you have a Mercury-Neptune aspect. You inherited that directly from your father.
Yes.
Because your father has Mercury in Pisces.
Yes.
And your mom has... Mercury, I'm not sure if she has a Mercury-Neptune, but...
Mercury-Aries, yeah.
Yeah, she has Mercury-Aries, but I'm not sure her Neptune is not in Libra, though.
It is, 5 degrees Libra.
Oh, so she does have a Mercury-Neptune also.
Yes.
Yeah, and she has a Mercury-Pluto trine also, I remember.
Yes.
I think, yeah. Yeah, so you've inherited that Mercury-Neptune from both of them.
I sure have.
Yeah. Because they both have Mercury-Neptune, so like he has Mercury in Pisces. So this aspect, genetically, there is absolutely nothing in science or medicine, even if we give them fair warning,
yeah.
That like we are issuing a challenge, even for 10 years, I guarantee they won't have anything. That 100 parents, one child, and our software in 10 minutes, I mean in 30 seconds will tell you that child is inherited what from which parent.
Right.
Because actually,
right.
Not only that, but what traits have they inherited from which parent?
Yeah.
And that's why you see the rulers of Saturn will become very, very important.
Mm.
So, for example, if somebody has, if you have Moon in Aquarius, and one of the parents has Moon in Moon Uranus aspect, for example, or you take the houses that Moon in the 11th house, all those rules I'm feeding in the computer now.
And will it translate planet to planet, like Mercury to Mercury, Moon to Moon, or can it, you know what I mean?
No, for example, if you have Mercury in Sagittarius, or Mercury in the 9th, or Mercury, Jupiter, any aspect, or Jupiter in the 3rd house, they all have similarities.
Yes, but I mean, will the if the parent has Mercury in Sag, then the child will have a Mercury-Jupiter aspect or something like that?
That's right.
Exactly. It translates from Mercury to Mercury, right? Not Mercury to Mars, for instance. You know what I mean?
I mean, they might have some other aspect because of another parent also.
Yeah.
Like all the aspects will be there, plus, for example, so if a parent has Mercury in Sagittarius, so you have Mercury in the 9th house, or Mercury in aspect to Jupiter, for example,
right.
Or even Jupiter in the 3rd house.
Yes.
Like each
right.
house
ruler of Mercury. Yes.
Yeah, so it'll be really interesting. We'll really find out about the, first of all, any genetic problems and all that. So, and the rulers will be able to really find out which ones are correct. And of course, we do know which ones then.
Yes.
So that'll be an amazing discovery. Because it's a lot of work. See, to me, we should only use about 5% or less of our brain for calculations, and 95% of it just for interpretation.
Right.
And that's why, you know, every time I was teaching my astrology also, and I refused to teach how to calculate a chart. I said in 30 seconds you can get the best chart and you'll never have to change that chart again. And I said, you know, the most important thing is when Moon is in your 12th house, what happens? What does that mean? You have to feel it.
Right.
Or when it's in the 9th house, why is the best time for the truth and philosophy? And or when it's at 12:30, your reflections are down. And this is, by the way, this is available to everybody, all the listeners who are, where you can just do the moon's transits. If you go
moon
to
magic.
Astro,
yeah.
That's right. If you go to astrotrends.net, right in the front it says personality table and the moon's table. You just go there, and there's a table there. You just look at your date and time, and it'll tell you exactly what your personality should be like, what your ascendant is, and which column applies to you. And below that, it shows you the key to moon's transits. You just download that one as a PDF file and print it out, because that never changes. So that shows when it moves in the first house or second house. There are only 12 interpretations, and they repeat themselves every 28, 29 days. Every time it moves in the 8th house, you always get money. Whereas in the 2nd house, you end up spending money. And below that, for each month, it shows for your column, which, what's the number for the day. And you just relate that back to key, to the key to moon's transit. If you have any difficulty, just give us a call.
Also, you have the moon magic as well, correct?
Oh, that's right, yes. We'll be having a new one very soon. But in the meantime, what I'm doing is every month I'm publishing it till we get it back from our printer, the Moon Magic 2009. Then they'll be able to see instantly the Saturn, Jupiter, everything.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make a service on astrology, Sherman, which will be available at a very modest cost for people, and we'll constantly be upgrading it. That they'll be able to open their own account, they'll be able to put all the events in their life, what happened in their life, and they'll see where the planets were instantly, all the timelines, to make it available for everyone in very, very simple ways.
Yeah.
All the databases available so they can, and they can compare their chart with other people or with the children to see what the best potential is, all those things.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's fascinating, yeah.
Another site, by the way, our celeb site is astrotrends.net/celeb, C-E-L-E-B. And we'll be putting our new design very soon, actually. But in the meantime, there are about 5,000 charts there. You can put your date of birth and see other people were born then, or any date of birth you can put in and give you the interpretation as well. And my analysis would be there. There's a lot of work to do there, actually.
Right.
And another one, Shervin, myastrolove.net is working right now. As a free login at the moment, there's no login at the moment. I mean, you can have a free account for now. I'm not sure how long will I continue like that, but you might as well make use of that. Put yourself in there. We'll always give you more, better treatment if you've been listening to our shows here. And the first comments for sure. So when you come in there, and you'll be able to see your chart, your interpretations, and you'll also be able to compare your chart with other people. And as you mouse over, it'll give you the interpretation. And, of course, I'm still working on that. We've got the design, but we're still working on that. And it's like an astrological dating, but much, much more than that.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm also doing a research module, Sherwin. I'll have approximately 40,000 to 50,000 charts. And very visual. You'll be able to see all the events in people's lives and all kinds of things in it.
Mm.
So all these things, everything which we didn't have when we were growing up.
That's
right. Thank God, we had to do all the ephemeris work. I mean, so much work we had to do.
I mean, it's nice to have a computer program with astrology tells you where the planets are. So much easier than doing it, figuring it out by hand. I mean, I can't imagine.
Absolutely,
how easy,
and just a click away. Did you see the other one that I was doing? I don't know if I showed you that or not. Where you have all the database on the left hand side, all the names, and you click on that one, instantly shows a chart. Then you click on Sinistry, or any of the other charts, and instantly shows you the bi wheel.
Oh yes.
It's almost an instantaneous thing. Much, much better than any of the WinStar or any of these other programs.
Right.
These other programs are very comprehensive, but it's just like Mac and PC.
Yeah.
The software people of PC just don't get it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Even though I use both, I'm completely cross-platform, as you know. But for a stroke of something which takes like one or two keys in Mac, they have like 14 different keys on the PC. It's just an overkill for everything.
Yeah.
It's a long way of doing things.
Apple is doing so fantastically well now, too, so that's great.
The what?
Apple is doing so well now. I'm very excited about it.
I'm actually trying to make like a Mac interface on the PC. So all the programs that I'm doing will be as easy as using a Mac.
Right.
In fact, they're so simple most of the time how to do it that they never have this. I was looking at the library here, and it was saying learn Java in 24 hours. It's like a 2,000-page book. I mean, so really, NT Bible learning 24 hours. I don't know why do they have to lie like that, That's so amazing. that's what I was telling my friends also, you know, that it's just a different mindset.
Yes.
And the truth is very, very simple. And it's difficult to design something. So it's like iPod, like iPhone. They tried to emulate it, they tried to, but everything else has all kinds of buttons. This has absolutely no buttons on it.
That's right. One button.
You just keep on falling. And that's how easy I want to make all of these programs, actually. We're also doing a lot of research, actually, so we'll have one of the sites, Ask a Medical One, for people who have autism, for example, or any of the different illnesses. One of my clients, by the way, she has two, she gave me two charts of children who are autistic. And it was really interesting. One had Venus in Scorpio aspect to Saturn, the other one had Venus in Virgo aspect to Saturn, and then the Mercury Saturn aspect also, which indicated that, you know, the quietness, the shyness, and they don't really see the person in the eye.
Right.
So I'm doing some more research on that now since I have a bit more time. I've been focusing on finishing the program, you see, and one of my talents I find, just like yours, that we can look at 10 charts and make conclusions where other people may have to look at 1,000 charts like the scientists. So in our case, we come to the right conclusion right at the beginning. We don't need too much of data for that.
Right, right.
I'm sure they won't agree with it, but in the long run, we'll be able to prove it through astrology, I mean, through computers also.
Computers, right.
So the 2012, yes, hopefully we have clarified that one, Shivan.
Yes.
But it is a really interesting aspect that the whole this ecliptic aspect is moving exactly through the center of the galaxy, which hasn't happened from about 26,000 years. They did write about the global catastrophe and the way these people are, all the armadas going to the Persian Gulf and trying to strike with Russia and Georgia to attack Iran, all that. It's not out of the woods yet. Until Obama comes in, I think we're going to have a lot of problems, unfortunately. That's the only way they might feel that they can get McCain in. All these minority groups, for example, these other people's interests, other countries trying to dictate the policy of America, unfortunately, you know.
Yeah.
And the whole media being controlled by us makes it very, very difficult, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But hopefully, we have a lot of hope with that Pluto moving into Capricorn.
Yes. Yeah.
And undermining
their all the big
planets.
How long do you think it'll be from the time it moves into Capricorn? How long before the effects are felt?
Well, it already did go in Capricorn before.
That's
before
right.
14th, from January to about 14th of June.
And then it retrograded.
And now
it'll
go back again.
Yeah.
From November, end of November. But before that, by the way, some really interesting things are happening. You know, what's the name? Of Virgin Branson.
Richard Branson?
Richard, right?
Richard Branson, the Virgin president?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. He was actually, he had something I've written here. I was just trying to see where I had written about more so, that he is booking some trips or something not for the moon, but for the, there was some very interesting, he's come out with this new plane, actually.
Yeah, I think I read something about this.
Richard Branson showed off a key piece of his fledgling commercial space program on the unveiling of a carry aircraft designed to launch a passenger-carrying spaceship. With exactly the same aspect, actually.
Mm.
So they want to book, I think, $200,000 or something. But it's a space station. I forgot whether it was to the moon or something, but he's definitely doing that. And all that Pluto in Sagittarius. And even this galaxy, what I find so amazing is not only this 2012 thing, but this year, November 2008, there's also Pluto moving away from Sagittarius to Capricorn. And this is the type of energy we'll feel when that whole ecliptic goes to the galactic center.
Oh.
So we'll have a lot of preparation. And it's not just a one-day event, by the way. It's already started in the late 90s, goes on to 2018, I believe.
Yeah.
It's not just a one-day thing, but it is interesting that there's such a huge thing happening, you know.
And the galactic center, again, you're saying that's
in Sagittarius,
6 degrees Sagittarius. And
right in the cross of Sagittarius, that's right. So where they cross is like a huge cross out there. And that's why I don't believe that the Mayans, you see, so the jungle people, for example, they were totally clueless about it. None of their writings or none of their things, the architecture, doesn't show any of this aspect at all. It's like
unless there was an involvement with an alien civilization. I know that sounds crazy.
That's exactly. It's a very advanced civilization or something. And, I mean, there's no need for these people to be able to count 90 million and even 300 million. They have an annotation, actually 300 million years.
Yeah.
300 million years to be able to count that aspect. And for them, what was the use of just living in the jungle, picking up berries and all that? Honestly, there's no need for that at all. I'm so stupid just thinking about that.
Yes.
And in Egypt, exactly the same aspect of the three pyramids. See, they almost like to recreate, like the Nile was like the Milky Way.
Right.
And the way they created, for example, these three pyramids, it's like the Belt of Orion, or the three stars, and how they created it, and they aligned it with these things to recreate all the cosmic things right on the Earth. But something they will see from the space.
So
you never know. I mean, if there was a civilization, I'm 100% positive they were. I mean, the anti-gravity or using electromagnetic forces or free energy is quite possible.
Yes. And that they were really here at that time as well, and did some that they were here, this alien civilization, they were here at that time.
It's quite possible, you know.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I wouldn't completely discount it at all, and especially by the fact that the whole entire universe and only one little civilization, that's it. Doesn't make sense at all.
That doesn't, no. And what else is interesting, and I'm not, again, explaining this properly, but I remember years ago reading about this, that chemists believed that, well, the human DNA had foreign material in it that they couldn't explain, almost as though our DNA was mixed with an alien DNA.
Oh, really?
For instance, like basically the idea that Cro-Magnon was created from a mix of alien DNA and Neanderthal DNA, rather than just like evolving from apes, because evolution happens so fast, there's a certain jump that
happens. First of all, you know, Sherman, I do not believe in the way they explain the evolution.
I
believe that we were programmed to evolve. I do not believe that we just evolved as a result of just the environment and all that. To me, the same nature, the same God, the same creative force which created us also made the whole jungle. So it knew that supposing we had a tail, and we didn't need a tail anymore, like monkeys, for example.
Yeah.
And it knew that when we, 5 million years after, for example, the tail would disappear. So it programmed us in it.
Yes.
Because genetics and evolution are totally in cross aspect with each other, completely. I was seeing the genetic professor, and this lady was getting so upset at me. I was telling her, tell me something. When a woman is, first of all, you know, when you are, I mean, there was never a time in the history of your genes that you physically didn't exist. When your mother was born, there were 500,000 follicles. That one oocyte, which later on fertilized to be you, that was missing, you wouldn't be here today. So physically, you already have this, and in the man also, the epithelial cell is in the lining, the cell is already there. So they just needed different people, they fertilize, and you're born, but there's a physical force there. And during the chromosome crossovers, which also produces hormone later on, the gonadotropin, which is fixed by the placenta, which it relates to the time of birth also. And so there's a definite connection there. That's how the genetic astrology would be able to prove once for all. There are all kinds of things, and there's only one aspect. But there's one thing which I really want to discuss. Something very interesting has come up, Sherman.
Yeah.
And this will be, I was thinking of a script for that. Imagine two different people. They look identical. And they are 10 years apart or 30 years apart, but they have identical look on the outside, but two completely different charts. You know, they clone these dogs for $50,000. They have these a bull terrier or something, a pit bull terrier. This lady in Korea, from here, she gave them to clone. You must have heard about last week on CNN.
Oh, yes, yeah.
There were five of them created there. Now, they look identical to the original one. Which makes me, I've always said that the appearance is not as important, but the chart would be completely different. Imagine a person is born with five planets in Gemini, and a new chart has five planets in Scorpio.
What a
completely different chart.
Yes.
The only thing, we might be forcing some events, for example, a person is tall, they're Sagittarius or Gemini, or they're short, for example, they're Taurus rising. If you try to force that aspect, there must be a natural aspect with that genes to come out in the new time, because the same... from that gene can produce many times, just like having a child at different times. There'll be similarity with all the children. Even if they are 1 year apart, 2 years apart, they'll all inherit different aspects from the parents.
Yeah.
And similarity, one might have Mercury in Pisces, one might have Mercury in the 12th house, one might have Mercury in Neptune aspect, but they are so similar. The similarity is there. But this would be really interesting. Imagine that you create a clone of the person, but with a completely different chart. Mm. Are you following what I'm saying?
I'm completely following what you're saying, and I always believe that in such situation the personalities would be completely different. But are you saying
the looks would be alike? Like when you look at them, they might look alike, but in the long run, they might start looking very different. When a Scorpio rising, they'll start looking very intense and sharp, and the nose and all that. Another one might have Libra rising, look very serene all their life. With the other one, because the actions do change the people's looks as well.
Oh, interesting.
Like people who go into drugs and all these aspects and crimes, their whole personality is not as serene at all.
There's
very sort of an uncalm energy about them.
Fascinating. Do you think that cloning is something we'll have at some point? Human cloning, I mean?
I would love to clone myself. I would take this little Hassan to all the music concerts. I would teach astrology at a very early age. But actually, I wouldn't teach her so much. It's a lot of headache.
I think Michael Keaton...
of all the music, art, everything that... All my talents I teach right now, encourage right in an early age.
Michael Keaton actually does a movie about this, and he played where he cloned himself three times. You know, it was very
really?
Funny. Michael Keaton?
Oh, yes. There's already a movie. I was thinking of actually making a movie about this. I think it would be a great script.
Yeah.
These two people born, they look identical, and yet their charts are so different.
Right.
Now that's where you could create a Dr. Jekyll and Dr. Hyde. I'm Jekyll and Hyde for sure. One is Libra rising, one is Scorpio rising.
Yeah.
Two completely different. One is Leo rising, one is Virgo rising. I mean, it'd be amazing.
Right.
How their personality would be so different, yet on the looks, they might start looking the same, but what they wear would be according to their charts.
It will be, yeah.
One would look the same charts, and yet one looks so smashing and dashing with Leo rising, the other one looks very shy and normal, just cotton things with Virgo rising.
What about if you find someone who was born pretty close to your time of birth and the exact same date of birth?
Oh, we are doing that, actually. We are doing the Astro Twins. My site is going to be launched very soon, where we'll actually be able to put in your date of birth and all the milestones in your life. And you'll find other people who had exactly the same thing. You know, I found three people.
Yeah.
Here, I'm an engineer by profession. A musician, an artist. I found another a person with exactly my same child as mine. He's got 3-4 degrees, doesn't do anything, he just keeps on taking degrees all the time. Another one, I was in Pension in Spain in the 70s actually, and I happened to be exactly in the same place as this other person, and we didn't meet at that time, but we found out later on, we went exactly the same place in Barcelona, in the same Pension. Same week we were there. And he's my astrological twin, and he's only a musician.
Wow.
So it's so interesting. Another person is an artist. I found three. One is an artist, one is in studies, one is in music.
And is the time of birth the same as well? The ascendant the same, rather?
Very, very close.
Very close.
And,
because all the planets
the same. You could see that. You know, like, it's so interesting. And here in my case, I'm an artist, I'm a musician. The only thing, these people are not in the martial arts. I'm also in martial arts.
Yeah.
I just balanced everything much more.
I found an actress who's actually married to Johnny Depp, Vanessa Paradis, and she has my same exact chart. The only thing is her ascendant is Scorpio. That's it. But
really?
All the planets, everything else the same, yeah.
As you?
As me. The same day, born the same day, and everything.
Wow. Well, of course, the time of events would be very different, because you really do need the rising sign for that one, but some other events relating to planets would be the same.
Yes.
And the planets get touched off, for sure.
Yeah. So I found that very interesting to find that.
Yeah. Well, next time, you know, Shivanath, I'm not in a rush to have people call us and all about it, but if they want to, we'll just leave the number with them. So the next time they want to join our discussion and want to call from Canada, it's 1-888-815-9756. And in the U.S., it's 1-877-876-5227. We got a lot of email with a lot of people, with a lot of date of birth, but unfortunately I didn't get enough time to look at everything. I did look at the charts and all that, but I was so much with all these scientific quotas around the world, developing our programs and all, that if you would like to call us, you can always do that. Our email is stargaze, S-T-A-R-G-A-Z-E, at astrotrends.net, and our number is 416-497-9000. Anytime you want to call us, we'll always call you back. And till next time, I wish you all the best and good luck. And thank you very much, Sheldon.
Yeah, my pleasure.
I thought it was so nice to have you called.
Pleasure to be on. Thank you.
Take care, Sheldon. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.